Hi everyone. I think I have the mic now. Is that true? Are you able to hear me? Okay, then tell you what, why don't I get the service started with the help of Len? And then, maybe Gloria can reboot. So of course, on this bright Easter morning, we get to start by greeting one another on the board. And Len, if you will play our opening song. Thank you.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic. Awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence. Rising in love, we are awakening to a long forgotten memory. Dawn is breaking, waves are coming in. Everybody here standing in wonder beneath the rain and the thunder, rising in love.
Hi, Gloria. This is Regina. I'm sorry. I red dotted you because we can't understand you. It's very in and out. I'm wondering if it's your internet connection. I'm wondering if you are somewhere other than home today. Maybe you could type in and let us know if that's the case. What I will do is read the announcements for you. Let us know if you've rebooted yet or if you still need to reboot. If you're unable to lead the service today, I will do something spontaneous. I'll figure something out. But okay. So let me go ahead and read the announcements. And then, Gloria, maybe you can chat on the board with Ken or something like that and see if there's something you guys can figure out. But these are the announcements. Register now for the next Awakening Together class, Introduction to Jesus of the New Testament. For centuries, Christian mystics have awakened to truth by contemplating the teachings of Jesus as they are written in the New Testament. What did they see in his teachings that traditional Christianity has been unable to see? In this class, you will have the opportunity to contemplate Scripture in the same way the mystics have and discover that answer for yourself. This class will meet on Thursday evenings, beginning April 26th and ending on May 17th. Class time is 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. This class will be facilitated by Reverend Helen Avery, and the cost for this four-week class is $80. You can learn more at awakening-together.org under the retreats and classes menu, and registration closes on April 16th. Our second announcement, join me at the Lewis and Clark College in Portland, Oregon from July 20th to 22nd for a retreat entitled Awakening from Little S Self to Capital S Self, Awakening from Self to Self. As you all know, the purpose of the spiritual path is to awaken from the false self to the self. And the intention is that you will leave this retreat with greater clarity about awakening, as well as some of the milestones along the way. You will be able to stay in the dorms at the college during the retreat. So this is a great retreat for out-of-towners. It's also my only U.S. retreat this year. Otherwise, I'm in Ireland and Italy. So if you want to join me at this retreat, you can learn more at awakening-together.org under the retreats and classes menu. The dates again, Jay, those dates were July 20 to 22. And again, all the information is on our website. Our third announcement this morning, if you're interested in going on the Italy pilgrimage, but you need financial assistance to go, be aware that Awakening Together is offering four $1,000 scholarships to members qualify for financial assistance. The deadline for applying for a scholarship is April 20th. And it's really easy to apply. We have simplified our scholarship application process. All you need to do is go to the Italy Pilgrimage homepage, which you will find under Retreats on the Retreats and Classes menu. Go to the bottom of that homepage, the Retreats homepage, and just click Scholarship Opportunities. So again, you'll go to awakening-together.org, click on Retreats and Classes, Retreats. You'll see the Fall Italy Pilgrimage. Just click on that page, go to the bottom, and click the link that says Scholarship Opportunities. And application is very easy. We've had two applications for scholarships so far, and we have four scholarships available. Also, I just want to let you know that this Italy Pilgrimage is open to everyone, not just Awakening Together members. So feel free to invite your friends and your family members to come along too if they're interested in our itinerary. For full details about this pilgrimage, go to awakening-together.org and look under Retreats on the Retreats and Classes menu. And next year, we'll share a little more with you about the pilgrimage. And I see that you have Glory phone. So when I finish the announcements, Ken, I'll turn the mic over to you so she can continue the service. Our fourth announcement, as you know, Awakening Together is planning to open a retreat house in La Vida, Colorado. I went there this week. I went to La Vida on a five-day personal retreat, and it was magnificent. There's just something about that area. So if you want to do the same, a few people were asking me questions about how they could also go to La Vida on retreat. If you want to do the same, I recommend staying at Two Fox Cabins. They are very inexpensive by today's standards, very cozy, very clean, wonderful place to go. It will give you the opportunity to look around the La Vida area and get a feel for the area where our retreat house will be. If you want to learn more about Two Fox Cabins, the website is easy. It's twofoxcabins.com. The word two is spelt out. So that's TWOFOXCABINS.com. Twofoxcabins.com. Also, don't forget to donate to our retreat house fundraiser. If you want to learn more about our retreat house fundraiser, just go to awakening-together.org, click the retreats and classes menu option, and then at the bottom of the retreats and classes menu, you'll see where it says retreat house. and you can just click that to learn more about the fundraiser. And Ken, I am releasing the mic. Thanks for putting in the Two Fox Cabins link there. Releasing the mic.
Go ahead, Gloria.
All right, so hopefully you all can hear me a little better now. I do apologize for that. I actually had some updates this weekend that were supposed to make my service better, but obviously the service has other options for me today. So thank you, Ken, for putting me through, and I just want to check to make sure that everyone can hear me okay. All right, wonderful. So, and thank you, Regina, for reading the announcements for us. I just wanted to comment, I'm so very happy to see that you're doing the retreat there at Lewis and Clark College. That's always been one of the things I've, you know, felt as I started on this spiritual journey, that there was always a wish that this information had been available in school. So that's wonderful to see that there. So let's get on with the gathering then for today. The title of today's gathering is The Common Denominator. And my reading for today comes from NTI Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 28. And my reader is Kathy Smith. So I'm going to release this mic and ask Kathy to come forward and read for us today, NTI Matthew, chapter 16.
Thanks, Reverend Gloria. So here we go, Matthew, chapter 16. And the first line that I'm going to read is italicized. The Spirit of God is one, and his Son is one with him. There is no separateness. There is only the Father and his extension of his self, which is his Son. In this way, the Spirit of God is one, and it is whole. It is on your faith in my word that I shall build my church. It is on your willingness to believe me over what you see that I will heal your sight. Again, it is on your willingness to believe me over what you see that I will heal your sight. It is oneness that you seek, and so it is the truth that you shall find. You are blessed in your search. That which is forever true cannot be overcome. And so there's a Bible icon for verse 19, and that verse says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. This instruction given to Peter was given to all who put faith in me. For Peter is but a symbol of faith within the unhealed mind. What this mind holds onto is held onto within heaven, for the truth is always true. And what this mind lets go of is let go in heaven, for the truth is always true. the Spirit of God is one, and the Spirit of God is heaven. So you must be one with heaven. Let that which blinds you to the truth go from your mind, that the truth, which always has been, may dawn. Again, let that which blinds you to the truth go from your mind, that the truth, which always has been, may dawn. Jesus is not the Christ in himself. The Christ is the Son of God, and no one is left outside of the Christ. Peter is the symbol of faith within the unhealed mind, and so Peter is also the symbol of the unhealed mind that has faith. In Peter, you will see great faith. And in Peter, you will see doubt, fear, and confusion. You are Peter. Until you know that you are the Son of God, do not doubt that you are Peter. And so you will seem to have moments of great faith, and you will seem to have moments of doubt, fear, and confusion. It is the doubt, fear, and confusion you must let go of, for they block the light of heaven and the awareness of who you are. It is faith you must hold on to, for your faith is your path to me. Jesus was enlightened, for he knew what heaven is. And in his joy, he invited all to join him. But heaven is not given on invitation alone. For heaven must be accepted, and all that is not heaven must be let go of. This is what I have been asking you to do. Let go of your doubts. Let go of your fear. Let go of your thoughts of separateness. And lay yourself aside. You do not need these things. They but block the light of heaven. Instead, pick up your faith in me and faith in light, and walk with me to the light. In this way, you shall know what heaven is. One cannot die, so Jesus does not ask you to die. He asks you to live within the oneness that he is. Lay down your little life and your desire for it, that you may know the life that is. This is where you must look at your thoughts and your desires. For if you desire anything of the world, you have lost your desire for me. Do not be afraid of what you find in your search. You will find that you do desire the world, for it is your desire that brought you here. But in finding your desire, you can choose to let it go. And in this way, you choose again, releasing the future from the past that you may see differently now. It is within you that I shall come, for it is within your heart and your mind that shall see that you are one with me. And in this knowledge you shall be rewarded, for there is no reward but me. It is simple. If you accept me and let all else go, you shall know me. One more time. It is simple. If you accept me and let all else go, you shall know me. In knowing me, you shall know life and truth, for I am life and truth. In this knowledge, you cannot die. Life and truth are the opposite of death, because life and truth are everything, and death, like fear, is nothing. Carla, we were reading from NTI Matthew chapter 16, from verses 13 on to the end of that section. So I'm finished with the reading. Before I give up the mic, I want to quickly give a shout out to Jacqueline. If you are on the road with your son, bless you both and safe travels. Love to you. Giving up the mic.
All right, and thank you very much, Kathy, for reading from NTI Matthew. During the reading, I realized that in the confusion of getting on the mic and on the phone this morning, I skipped over the invocation. So I do want to pause for just a moment here now say a very brief prayer before we begin today's gathering. All right, so Father, I just want to give thanks today. I am so deeply grateful for the meaning, the symbolism behind the meaning, that you are indeed the truth and the light. And so I'm grateful for that knowledge. I'm grateful for this opportunity to share in that knowledge, to grow in that knowledge. And so I give thanks for this opportunity and for everyone who's here to share in this journey. And so it is, and so I let it be. Amen. All right, so now that we are done with the reading, I also want to mention the core value, the Awakening Together core value. The core value that I'm working with today is core value number 5. We accept all forms of temporary appearances permitted through enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. So you can find more about our core values that are on the website at awakening-together.org. But that is the core value that we'll be working with today. So getting on to what this day means, the symbolism behind today, the symbols that are so active for many of us around Easter, or it's more commonly called today Resurrection Day. The church, the Christian faith, you know, moved away from that whole topic of Easter, or gradually moving away from that to more clearly, I think, define what this day really means. So the resurrection of Jesus, what was he really saying to us when he rose from the grave 3 days after being crucified? You know, one thing I know from having read the Bible and having grew up in primarily a Baptist church is that the Bible is full of paradoxes. It's full of stories that go much, much deeper than the words that are spoken on paper. So I think the paradoxical nature of the Bible is certainly what created a need for scribes like Regina and other scribes that are out there to reinterpret the scripture through Holy Spirit, you know, so that we could gain that clarity and understand what the real meaning is behind the words that are written there. So today's reading from NTI Matthew was one such interpretation. The message is crystal clear. You know, in the opening sentence here on this reading, it says the Spirit of God is one, and his Son is one with him. And then we can go even further into that message and discover exactly who the Son of God is in verse 20 here. It says, Jesus is not the Christ in himself. The Christ is the Son of God, and no one is left outside of Christ. No one. No one is left outside of Christ, the oneness, the life that Christ, that Jesus knew he was. No one is left outside of that. And when I think back on the question that I originally asked, what does his resurrection on the third day really symbolize? It comes back to this very statement here, that no one is left out. No one is outside of the oneness that is life. And that is also why I chose to title this sharing today, The Common Denominator. Because life is the common denominator. Life is, oneness is a part of everything. You know, as a child, you know, even as I grew up and got older, I can recall those sunrise services, attending them, hearing about them, you know, on the weekends or on Easter weekend. You know, I can recall hearing the Sermon on the Mount taught many times by many preachers, and that message that I heard always made me feel like, you know, victorious. You know, yes, Jesus did it. He won. He defeated death, you know. So there was always this sense of victory in the resurrection of Jesus for me. But at the same time, as I grew in on this spiritual journey, you know, I had really defeated death, how that was going to help me on this spiritual path. I mean, it had to go beyond just feeling victorious about that victory, about him defeating death. How could I transfer that knowledge into this life? So that original question about the question one step further, what does his resurrection mean for me in this life? What does that mean? How do I transfer that information and use it to align myself and my goals with, you know, my one true desire, which of course is to awaken to the truth of who I am? So again, when I think about that question, the answer that actually springs to mind for me instantly was that his death, or that resurrection, proved that death wasn't real, that life was indeed eternal and completely unblemished by the events that occur in my life or within anyone's life. The common denominator in all things. Yet, you know, death still remains misunderstood, you know, feared even. So if the message was that there was victory in death, that this was not the end or of life, then why so much fear and confusion? But like, there's another verse here, in verse 22. It says here, until you know that you are the Son, do not doubt that you are Peter. And so you will seem to have moments of great faith, and you will seem to have moments of doubt, fear, and confusion. It is the doubt, fear, and confusion you must let go of, for they block the light of heaven and the awareness of who you are. It is the faith you must hold on to, for your faith is your path to me. That's what verse 22 says. It says that we will deal with doubt, fear, and confusion in this life. And that the way, the path back to truth is by trusting and having faith that life is indeed eternal. So the knowledge that death is not real helps us to live in alignment with who we are, because it speaks to the oneness that all life springs from, that all life originates from. If the only problem is the belief in separation, then the only cure can be eliminating that belief. By not only accepting that oneness is our true nature, but actually living a life that actually reflects this knowledge. You know, you can know that oneness is all there is. But to actually experience your life, or the life of quote-unquote others, as the oneness that is a whole other step. It's a whole other step in this journey. You know, also, when I think about death and rebirth, you know, that's one of the big symbols that this day represents. When I think about that, I also think about how old beliefs had to die in order for this light of heaven that was mentioned here in this reading, in order for that to really begin to take a foothold in my life. Believe let go of. And they're still being let go of, you know. It's a process. You continue to let go until there's not a need to let go, you know. We're talking about here, you know, if I can get to a point where I'm certain in the faith that I am indeed an aspect of this oneness, of the Creator, and an absolutely today is that it's also April Fool's Day, you know. And that's another symbol for, you know, us to continue with for today, I think. It's all about playing jokes and pranking people. And when I think about the irony of that, given that, you know, so much of this life feels like, you know, I was duped somewhere along the way, you know, fooled into believing that I was somehow separate, unworthy, and unlovable, ultimately. Fooled into believing that I was alone in this big world where probably few people understood me or cared enough to even, you know, duped by this experience of life into believing that something outside of me would give me the joy that always been here. You see, that whole trickery. But as today's reading points out, it's the knowledge of the desire for the world that gives us this awareness. You know, we have to know that we have desires. We have to know that I'm believing that I'm in a big world separate from that which created me. I become aware of that particular belief, then I'm now in a position to make a new choice and to let that go. And that's also what this journey is about, becoming aware of the blocks to love's presence, letting those go, and making the choice for love, the choice for oneness, the choice for life. So it's really, you know, a symbol of just my ability to this one and allow things that I've been fooled into believing just let go and let truth replace those beliefs. So when I think about all of that, you know, the symbolism of Resurrection Day, the symbolism of being fooled on, you know, for April Fool's Day, when I think of all of that, it really does, you know, it wasn't for me to think about what to talk about today. Once I realized that this was Easter Sunday, I was actually shocked. I didn't know that the very first day of the month was going to be Easter Sunday. So, you know, once I realized that was indeed the case, it was, pretty automatic what came next as far as what I would talk about, because I knew that, for most of my life, I said, I just felt a sense of victory. The messages that I heard coming up, the perceptions that were developed, you know, but I was also very confused by all of that, because I was taught that, Jesus died for my sins, but I'm still classified as, you know, which one is it? Are my sins gone, or am I still a sinner? You know, it left me with feeling a sense of confusion about, you know, what the truth really was. And of course, you know, when you have that confusion, doubt, and that is the basis for, you know, faulty belief. That's the ground that faulty beliefs need to become manifest. You know, become embedded in your belief system. But thank God, though, that the truth is always true. Thank God that the truth never changes. It is completely changeless. And the more we seek to understand and seek the clarity of what the truth is, this reading also pointed that out as well, that, you know, we're blessed for doing so. We'll be blessed in, our search here for the truth. You know, it can't be in vain, in other words. So that's also business for us. And, you know, like I said, the resurrection is pretty much a gift, really, of the gift of understanding, or beginning at least to understand that we are a part of this oneness, this life that is so pervasive in everything and yet is so very mysterious, right? It's unbelievable how big and mysterious life really is. But, you know, it's not really for us to try to understand what, you know, or figure anything out, as a matter of fact. Our only goal is to, like I said, look and become aware of the things that we desire that are of the world and not of heaven, because we're always making one choice or the other. Either we're choosing heaven or we're choosing death or life. We're making a choice for life or death in every choice that we make. So the more aware we become of the choices that we're making that are not for life, you know, we're just in a much greater, much better position there to let that go, like I said, and make the choice for love. So the Spirit of God is one, and the Spirit of God is heaven. So we must be one with heaven. It's just that simple. Again, that the truth is always true is a beautiful saying. It's one of my favorites, in fact. You know, whenever I get too far off of the track or on a path of this confusion and doubt, you know, I can always turn to that particular statement, that the truth is always true. That always cues me to go back and think about what the truth is. My connection to everything and to all of life is what the truth is. And when you broaden your perspective out from being pigeonholed into a problem or looking at a problem up very closely, and you broaden your perspective out to really begin to embrace and see that you're part of something so much greater, so much bigger than that problem. For me, anyway, it gives me what I need to move away from that, to let that go, and to refocus my attention, my light of awareness on the truth. So again, in this way, we begin to awaken to the truth of who we are and what we are. And that's truly what this Resurrection Day means for me personally. It is a reminder that we are indeed that light, that we are connected to that light, and that we're completely unblemished by, you know, what's going on here in this life, during the experience of this life. And so with that, I'm just grateful for that knowledge. I'm grateful for, as I mentioned during the prayer, you know, I'm so grateful to know that. To know that it's not just me against the world. Now my only task is to get into full alignment with that knowledge. And I do that by letting go of untruth, and accept the truth of who I am. And it's so, you know, it's so strange sometimes when I'm talking about things like this, because, you know, in this environment, it's like, this is the one message. This is the only message that is consistent. And so oftentimes I feel as if, you know, I'm preaching to the choir. They know these things. They know that they're one. They know. I've had conversations with myself, with Holy Spirit about this very thing. You know? But until we completely let go of, and that's always the indication that I get if I have that type of conversation with Holy Spirit, you know, until we get to a place where we have no confusion, have no fear, have no doubt that we are indeed that oneness, then these conversations remain necessary. And when I say that, I mean primarily for myself. And so with that, I'll go ahead and close out. I know we got off to a very interesting start today, but, you know, I'm glad that I was able to share what my thoughts were and what my contemplations were about this particular day and what it meant. So I'll ask Ken to please post the link in the chat room here for anyone who might be interested in making a donation during this time. And then I'm also going to ask Lynn to play a song for us to contemplate. A song for us to contemplate the oneness that is this life, the connection that we have to this oneness, the fact that we could never be anything other than this life. This life that is the common denominator in all things. So I'll ask her to go ahead and play us a song to contemplate. And after that song, we will have the opportunity to share any thoughts or ideas that you have about what this day means, about what the meaning of. I'd love to hear if anyone else has different or even the same perspective on the meaning of this, of Jesus rising 3 days after his death, as the Bible has taught us. All right, so I'm going to ask Glenn to go ahead and play that song for us now, and love to you all.
For you, know the score, and I love you, I love you, I love you, like never before, like never before, like never before.
Back to you, Gloria.
All right, and thank you, Lynn, for that song for us to contemplate. Thank you very much. And so it looks like we do have a few minutes here for open discussion. If anyone would like to comment, please raise your hand, and we'll turn the mic over to you here. Okay, so it doesn't look like we have any hands going up there. And, it goes back to what I was talking about towards the end. I think, it's almost common knowledge for most anyone who would be here or who would hear this type of message that life is indeed in all things, that it's like the ABCs of, awakening, if you will. It's just a common knowledge, and which also makes it even that much more mysterious to me that, it could be so well known, yet, difficult for us to move into living that as a fact. So, it's just, again, one of those paradoxical type of situations with life. But I actually don't have anything further that I'd like to share, so I'm going to ask Ken to go ahead and play a closing song for us then. Next up, we do have Fellowship Hour, which is led by, actually it's half hour, I think it's from 11:30 till noon, which is led by Reverend Ken and Reverend Becky. So I'm just going to go ahead and turn the mic back over to him and ask that he play us the closing song. I do hope that you all have a lovely, wonderful day and enjoy the rest of your holiday weekend. Ken, the mic is back to you.
Thank you, Gloria. And Lynn, all right, releasing the mic to you for our closing song or songs.
Entertaining angels, I'm opening the door. Everyone who comes to me is an angel to adore. The angel that I've been waiting for. Every child that comes to me, I feel the heavens unfold, and every smile that shines in me is an angel that I can hold. The angel that I've been waiting for. I can't seem to understand why you chose me out of everyone. You know how many times I have tried, but every time I look around, I see that you're the only one. An angel straight from heaven by my side. And this angel straight from heaven I won't deny. I'm entertaining angels. At my table, they're all the same. Everyone that I welcome there is an angel that I have gained. An angel that will remain. I can't seem to understand why you chose me out of everyone. You know how many ways I have tried, but every time I look around, I see that you're the only one. An angel straight from heaven by my side. And this angel straight from heaven I won't deny. I'm entertaining angels. I'm opening the door. Everyone who comes to me is an angel to adore.